You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 54 for January 21st, 2013.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk about all kinds of different running topics, from marathons to 5Ks, running shoes, gear, nutrition, goofy races, not running so much.
Yeah, sometimes that comes up too.
Yeah. What do we got going on this week? Not much. Kind of a slow week.
But some random stuff.
Some random stuff.
Hodgepodge.
Of stuff, I guess you could say. We'll get to our weekend training, or weekend not so much training, I guess. But before that, we kind of wanted to start with old business, which was still talking about Goofy Challenge, Walt Disney World Marathon weekend.
Which is only like a week ago, but it seems like it was...
It seems really far off now.
It does.
But it really was just the other day. So we kind of wanted to get to a couple questions and comments we got from people about the race. Beth, who's also ran the full marathon.
Yeah.
Helped us out with some of our character issues of knowing who the characters are. So
thank you for that.
So one of the ones we didn't know was Turk from Tarzan.
Mm-hmm.
Was one of the ones that had no idea who it was. Mentioned Jiminy Cricket, which I know.
Yeah.
But I just forgot to mention, actually, because we didn't stop for a picture. Miko was with Pocahontas, which I don't even remotely remember.
I think I remember seeing Pocahontas, and I remember seeing somebody else with her.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that it was Miko.
And then, correctly, the alligator that I actually took a picture with during the half was Louis from The Princess and the Frog.
Right.
Never saw it, so I have no idea. But
I've seen it. Good movie.
Oh, really? You have actually seen it?
I've seen it.
Okay. So, thanks for clearing up some of the characters that we had no idea who they were. So, it's kind of nice to know. So, at least if somebody asked me about who that alligator was in the picture, at least
I can say it. And then, actually, after that, you helped me clear up some characters that I didn't know who we had taken a picture with, which were some bears.
Right.
Yeah, so I didn't know who they were, but
from the, I think it's like the country jamboree thing.
Yeah, which I had no idea about, so.
So I put point for me for actually.
Yeah, there you go.
Knew that one. Beth also mentioned that she went out to cheer for the end of the half.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of said the crowd was kind of, how should we say it, just not cheering?
Yeah. Like they were just standing there,
I guess. And I'm trying to remember.
Which would seem so bizarre. Like if you're there,
why not cheer?
Yeah.
And I think when I came across, I still remember people cheering. I think.
Yeah, same for me. I think I would have noticed if it was
kind of quiet.
Yeah.
But the thing was, there's like music at the finish.
So maybe
I don't
nobody
know if
was
that,
cheering.
I don't know if that drowned out people or not. I think I was just caught up in the music, and then the people running around me were kind of yelling. So I don't know.
Maybe it was just you guys cheering for yourselves.
It could have been.
It could have been.
So yeah, that's kind of interesting. And like you said, Beth did the full marathon. So she actually did a report on her blog. So runningwithmickey.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to hear another perspective on how at least the full marathon went.
She also enjoyed the chocolate, by the way. So I wasn't alone in that.
Yeah. Chocolate and mile
22 and a half.
Yeah. Kind of memorable, I guess.
Right.
That's the fun part.
If you like chocolate.
Yeah. And she also PR'd. So congrats on that.
Yeah.
Beth. We also heard from Heather, who also volunteered to help us with Disney characters, if you ever had that issue again, too. So apparently we were the only people that don't know all these Disney characters. So
at least we owned up to it.
Right.
And
yeah.
Didn't
we
pretend
said it,
like, oh, we think it's so-and-so.
Right up front. But Heather actually asked if our opinion on the half marathon would change if we didn't do the full marathon.
So if we had only run the half.
Right. And I think last week I was a little bit down on the half marathon, and I will, being the more critical out of the two of us, I'll stick with that. I think had I gone there and just did the half, I would have actually been disappointed just because I had such high expectations for the Disney race.
So then your perspective probably wouldn't have changed then?
I guess not.
If you hadn't done the marathon?
Correct.
Okay.
Like, I think if I had just done the half, I think I would have been just disappointed because of high expectations. Like I said, it was really awesome running through the Magic Kingdom, but everything kind of before and after that was kind of eh.
Mm-hmm.
So considering we flew across the country for a Disney race, I think doing just the half, I would have been a little bit disappointed on that. Just because, like I said, you know, I had high expectations for the race just because, you know, people always talk so highly of Disney races. And a lot of that's for good reason. But that kind of raised my expectations for what the race would be. So, And your opinion?
Well, I mean, being, I guess, the less critical of the two of us, if you guys haven't. Noticed that yet, is I think my perspective would have changed if I had just run the half marathon and not done the marathon. I think I still would have been a little bit disappointed or bummed out with just how little of the parks we got to see on the half marathon course. Mm-hmm. But I think I wouldn't have been as disappointed if I hadn't run the marathon, because I think I just really, really, really liked the marathon course.
Right.
And there was just so much to see that I think in comparison, the half marathon course just didn't seem as great. So I think if I hadn't done the marathon, I wouldn't have been as bummed out about the half marathon course.
Because you wouldn't know what you were missing. Really.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right. That's kind of two different perspectives.
Yeah.
But I mean, I still got to say running the half marathon, you know, through Magic Kingdom and a little part of Epcot, you know, and characters along the way, like that was still
fun.
Fun.
And definitely different.
Absolutely.
From what we're used to. So.
And more than what I normally get in a half marathon.
True.
Now I'm going to be looking for characters like on the next half marathon. Like, where's, oh my gosh, it's like mile 8 and I haven't seen anything.
Your next rock and roll race, you're going to be like another band. The, what, right. You know, where's all that?
I'm going to like pull off to the side and get in line and take a picture with the band.
That'd actually be really funny.
Yeah, it would be funny. Okay. Or somebody just, I'm going to keep going.
No, go ahead.
Somebody just dressed like in a random costume. I'm going to like pull off to the side like, oh, can I take a picture with you?
Well, it's actually funny. When we're at Disney, you know, a lot of people dress up Disney characters or, you know, just dress up in costume. And some people had like some really awesome costumes to the point like I almost wanted to go take pictures with just people that were running the race because like, hey, that costume is like totally awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, let me get a picture with you. But that's a little more difficult than pictures with the actual Disney characters during the race because you don't want to stop somebody in the middle of their run to take a picture. But
yeah. Well, I think there was at one point there was even a spectator that had a costume on that I thought for like a split second was a character. And I'm like, oh, a character. Oh, that's not a character. That's just a person. Just out here to see the race. Okay, keep going. Keep going. So, all right.
I think that's going to kind of wrap up Disney, right? You don't have anything else?
No, I don't have anything else.
Yeah, Goofy Challenge. So let's jump into our week in training.
Okay.
I guess I'm going to go first because I had much less of a week in training.
Not by much, but yeah.
Not by much. And totally intentionally, though. So I guess I'll start with saying after doing the Goofy Challenge, I felt much better than I ever expected in a million years. So, I mean, I was definitely beat up the day of the full marathon, but the next day I was a little bit sore, but nowhere near as bad as I thought I would feel.
Mm-hmm.
And even like 2 days after, felt way better than I thought. And like, you know, really by 2-3 days after, I was like fine.
Felt normal, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. I was like no lingering aches or pains. Yeah, it kind of felt strange. Like, hey, wait a minute. I just did back-to-back half and a full, and I, you know, I felt worse after just doing half. Before.
Yeah.
Now, maybe speed has something to do with it. I didn't really think about that. But, you know, neither one of these I didn't shoot for a time at all.
You shot for finishing under the cutoff.
Yeah, that was, I mean, so really.
I mean, but yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe the speed was kind of what made it so much easier
body. I think that was the main thing.
Despite all the extra miles, but felt really good. What I did was I actually didn't run until Sunday. So a week after. And that was according to my plan. So I actually technically didn't miss any days because I planned to take the entire week off and I just wanted to run Sunday. That way I didn't throw up a zero for the week.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually went out just Sunday and kind of wanted to do like four or something, but I just actually went out and ran 2 miles and kind of stretched the legs and actually ran a little bit faster than I would normally want to run. But this is kind of my off week, my recovery week, take time off week, which was a good time for it because just back from vacation, you know, it's a lot of unpacking and getting back into the work routine and trying to catch up at work. So a little bit longer hours this week. So it's kind of good to...
And some time adjustment too.
Yeah, it was much harder to adjust to the time change coming home than it was going there. Like going there was like one day and I was fine. But coming back was like, I was just so tired early. I was like ready for bed. Like on, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday, it's like 9 o'clock, which is way earlier than I normally go to bed. I'm like, I'm ready to crash out. So, so all in all, a very easy week, but felt pretty good. Like I said, totally planned to take it easy or basically take the entire week off. And I think this coming week, I'll probably keep it really small. I think this is my off time for the year, I guess we'll call it. I actually kind of viewed Goofy as the end of my 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's kind of like end of 2012, take a little bit of break and start looking forward to what's coming up in 2013. Because I'm not planning on doing any fulls for at least 6 months. So I'm not in any rush to kind of jump back into to full, you know, full-on gung-ho training or anything like that. So,
and it's important, I think, you've mentioned before, just kind of take some time to kind of step back.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for a lot of people, you know, winter's the time when you kind of cut back, you know, especially around the holidays, you cut back, a little less mileage. Maybe it's the time to do more strength training, which I'd like to do. Haven't gotten around to it, but hopefully soon. So that was my week. How's your week?
My week, I did miss some runs. And I think for a couple of different reasons, some of the reasons that you mentioned, kind of adjusting to being back from vacation, you know, having a lot to do at home, at work, and just getting really tired really early in the day. And then part of it probably just being kind of, you know, just in recovery mode after Goofy. So I actually didn't run again until Saturday. So 6 days, I guess, after Goofy.
Mm-hmm.
So I did miss some runs on my plan. I mean, right now I basically am on my 50K training plan because I do have the Way Too Cool 50K in early March. So according to my plan, Goofy was actually part of the plan, not the race.
Right.
If that makes sense.
That's part of your training.
Part of my training. Yeah, so I did miss several runs this week, but I think it was a good week to kind of miss because, you know, I basically hadn't run much for the 2 weeks prior because of being sick and then, you know, put in some pretty high mileage over a Goofy weekend. But the two runs that I did do, they're pretty good runs. Saturday, I actually got out to the trails, went out to Lake Chabot, which we've mentioned lots of times before. I've done a couple of trail races there through Brazen, and I kind of did my own loop there. I actually found a 9-mile loop around the lake just by accident. I was planning to do about 8 to 10 miles, mm-hmm. but I was planning on doing kind of an out and back, you know, just get to like 4 to 5 miles and then turn around and get back. And then I just kind of kept going on a loop. And then when I was getting ready to turn around, there was a sign, actually a trail sign, that indicated that if I would have just kept going, you know, back to my starting point, like if I just kept going on that loop, I would actually be doing 9 miles. So I was like, oh, well, that sounds more interesting than doing an out and back on the trail. So ended up doing a full loop, about a 9-mile loop, which I wouldn't mind doing again. So I could see myself going back out there. It was a little interesting kind of getting back to the trail since I hadn't been on trail in a while. So balance was like a little off, kind of kicked myself, like my other foot, like literally kicked myself, you know, with my other foot, like my other shoe a couple of times, like, oh my gosh, okay, you know, like pay attention. But it felt good to get out there. And I mean, I know I need to keep doing that in preparation for the 50K, but it felt good to get out there. Almost stepped on a dog. There's, like, you know, in certain parts. Yeah, I don't think I told you about that. On parts of the trail closest to the trailhead, there's a lot of people walking their dogs or out there with their kids and families and that sort of thing. So there was a dog off a leash, and he was actually running across the trail. And if he would have just kept going, we would have been fine. We would have missed each other. But then I think, like, last minute he panicked and, like, dodged, like, the other way. He went the other way. And so I had to, like, just kind of, like, hold myself back and, like, don't put your foot down, because I would have just, like, stomped right on him. Like, oh, my gosh. You know, and of course, the owners were like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It's like, it's okay. You know, nobody got hurt or anything. So that was interesting. But really clear day out there. You know, it's mm-hmm. obviously cooler nice temperatures weekend out here than what we had in Florida. But it was a really nice day. So I had a good time. That was Saturday. And then Sunday, went to the gym, did an 8-miler on the treadmill. So feeling, my calves are a little bit tight today, but otherwise I feel pretty good. I think the hardest thing that I, or the most difficult thing that I dealt with over the weekend was just kind of getting my breathing back. You know, like my lungs just felt a little bit more, or my breathing felt a little bit more labored than what it normally does. So I know part of that is just kind of conditioning and, you know, getting back to good health and
bronchitis.
Yeah.
So you were still coughing a little bit at the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's probably just now that you're stopped coughing. I haven't heard you cough in a while.
Right. I'm about due. No, I'm just kidding. So, yeah, I mean, and so I'm just trying to be, you know, I know it's just a process and just kind of going through it. So, but I kind of need to get back onto my training plan because I really only have about 7 weeks before Way Too Cool, which is not.
Is it that close?
Yes.
Wow.
Not a lot of time. But I did just do a 26-mile long run, technically.
And a 39-mile weekend.
There you go.
So
yeah, I just got to be a little bit more consistent and not take like a whole week off at this point.
Yeah, but you'll definitely be jumping like hardcore back into the training probably
yes,
next week.
Yes, and hitting the trails some more.
Yeah.
So, and no cross-training, no spinner, no good reason, just didn't do it.
Well, I think
it's just that kind of week.
Yeah, we kind of earned, I think, the time off. We'll give it to ourselves.
And it felt kind of good. I'm like, God, I didn't work out again today, but nah. Okay.
Like I said, it's just coming back from vacation, you know, it's just such a busy, you know, you come back from vacation and you have so much to do in a way between work and home and unpacking,
like,
and everything.
And,
yeah, it's just hard. So it was kind of nice not to try to get so much running in. So
yeah,
that's our week. Now, what do we have in terms of running news? Speaking of Disney, this past weekend was the Tinkerbell half marathon, right?
Right.
At Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
So about how many people did that? I think 1,100. Almost 1,200 people. So 10,500 women and 1,300 men. Obviously, Tinkerbell's a women's don't want to say women specific or aimed at women, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's geared towards women.
Sure.
So, I mean, it looks like it was about 90% women.
Mm-hmm.
So the men out there that did decide to do it had some great numbers on their side.
Yeah.
So congrats to anybody
who did Tinkerbell
this past weekend. Speaking of Disneyland, the Disneyland Half Marathon weekend, I'm going to call it now because they added the 10K. Registration opens on January 22nd. So depending on when you listen to it, it's probably opening today, or it just opened maybe a day ago, a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Depends when you get around to listening.
So you might want to look into that if you're planning to participate in any of the events.
Yeah. And I think we'll be jumping on that and registering, like we said, probably mainly to get our Coast to Coast medal.
Yes.
Because when you do one race in Florida and one Disney race in LA in the same year, you get that Coast to Coast medal. So I think we'll be jumping on that, and we'll probably just go ahead and do the Dumbo Double Dare.
Probably.
Which is the 10K and half marathon.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll be looking to register for that. What else is going on? Rock and roll news. I think last year I was pretty critical of Rock and Roll San Diego. The course, I think.
Yeah,
I
say specifically the course.
Yeah, I think I called that probably my least favorite race of the year. Is that what I had said?
I think you did.
They're actually changing the course. So there's going to be a new course coming for San Diego. We know that the new finish line is going to be at Petco Park,
mm-hmm.
which is the baseball stadium there. They haven't unveiled the entire course.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not sure exactly what that's going to be, but that's going to be kind of interesting to see how that rolls out. Apparently they heard me, and specifically just for me, I'm sure.
Just for you, they're changing the course.
They changed the course.
I have seen a lot of people comment, online that they're hoping that the part of the course on the freeway is eliminated.
Gone. Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what the course actually turns out to be.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's definitely a lot of opportunity down there to kind of make the course a little bit more scenic, or if nothing else, just get rid of the freeway parts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hopefully they do that. But, we'll let you know, because I'll be keeping an eye on that just out of curiosity's sake. Also, Rock and Roll Arizona was this past weekend.
Yeah.
So that's a race we did a year ago.
A year ago.
Oh, wow. That was my first half marathon.
Yeah.
First half a year ago. So I think that's a race that maybe someday we'll return to, because I actually do really like Arizona. But yeah, that was this past weekend. I didn't even pay attention to what kind of weather they had. Have no idea. But I know it was, I looked up the numbers because I was just curious. About 13,000 people did the half. 3,000 people did the full. 1,400 did the mini marathon, which I'm not sure what distance it was for them. I don't know if it was a 5K or 5-miler.
Because it varies depending on
the
rock and roll event.
And I always say, I don't know why rock and roll does relays, but their relay had 171 people.
Hey, somebody's doing it.
So, yeah, but that's so tiny.
I know.
Like, you know, if you got 13,000 people doing the half and 170 doing the relay, it just seems like a lot of wasted logistics. But I mean, I guess, you know, to us the runners, it really doesn't make a difference. So
right,
who really cares? Rock and Roll this week also unveiled a new Triple Crown medal.
Yeah.
So Rock and Roll does heavy medals if you do multiple races with them. So if you do 2 Rock and Rolls in a year, you get the Encore medal. You do 3, you get the Triple Crown, and it keeps going to Rockstar, and I forgot what the 10 was.
10 is Rock Idol.
Okay. And they've just updated their medal for the Triple Crown if you do 3.
Mm-hmm.
Which, a little weird, because they've only updated that one medal.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if all the other ones kind of get updated as the year goes along.
It's kind of due, because they've been the same for several years.
Yeah.
And I think people would be more inclined to do, you know, if you're a lover of bling, like I am, kind of. I think you'd be more inclined to do it, you know, multiple years if you were getting different medals, but I don't think it's really much of an incentive for somebody like us who, you know, we went up to 5 last year. There's not a lot of incentive to do the same thing this year and get the exact same medals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, I don't know, like, I don't need the exact same medal. That's kind of uninteresting. So
right.
At least 3 is updated, and hopefully we'll keep an eye out if they continue to update those or not.
I think they will. It'll just be interesting to see how soon
they do it.
They do that.
It's probably, they just have to run out of their stock.
That's what I'm wondering.
That they have. And then once they run out of it, then maybe they have the new updated
right.
one. Because I'm sure they got to order that stuff in massive bulk.
So I'm thinking Rock Encore is going to be the next one to be updated.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Although that may be the one that they ordered the most of to start with.
Yeah.
So who knows?
So we'll see. But I mean, that's something. I mean, we do have one R&R on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if they update that Rock Encore one, they'll sucker me into throwing in something else in the middle of the year. But we'll see about that.
I forgot we had one on the calendar. I'm like, we do?
Yeah,
I couldn't
we'll
remember
be at
which
Vegas
one it was.
At the end of the year. So. Yeah. What else is going on? Ragnar, Las Vegas.
Yeah, speaking of Vegas.
Vegas. Yeah. Oh, good. Thank you. Registration for Ragnar, Las Vegas just opened today.
Today.
So By the time you hear this, you can sign up for that. If that's something you're interested in, that's a race we're thinking about doing. We got to get with our people and see what's going on. Trying to plan out between Napa. We'll definitely be at Ragnar Napa this year. And then Vegas was the path to get our Deuces Wild medal.
Yeah.
So speaking of more
bling.
Yeah. To get the Deuces Wild, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's,
so I think, so Ragnar Vegas is in November.
Oh, right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. What else? So that's kind of race updates. It's kind of funny. Those are all West Coast races. I guess I didn't pay much attention to what's going on out on the East Coast. Had enough East Coast with Ford for the week, so I'll pay attention to what's going on the East Coast next week.
Next time.
What else did I want to mention? Kind of a cool thing that I found on...
Cool gadget.
Kind of. I like the tech stuff, if you guys haven't noticed once in a while. It's a project on Indiegogo, which is a website similar to Kickstarter, which is one of these deals where people invent something, create something, or want to create something, and they go... You create a page on this website, and you basically ask people for money to fund it, and usually, if you donate money to fund it, usually you end up getting a product in return.
Mm-hmm.
But just remember, you're not actually buying the product. So there's no guarantee you could put the money and never get anything.
Right.
But the product that I saw this week that I thought was kind of cool, it's called the Milestone Pod. And what this is a device that attaches to your shoe and allows you to track the mileage of your shoe so that basically you know when to get rid of that shoe.
Mm-hmm.
So
you don't have to keep like the Excel files that we have.
Right.
Or that I have.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, if you don't know, I mean, most shoes, you know, the recommended lifespan for your running shoe is about 400 to 600 miles. And then after that, your shoes, we consider it basically done. You know, for some people it'll be less, some people it'll be a little bit more, but it's kind of hard to keep track of how many miles you have in your shoe. Like I said, we keep pretty detailed running logs, but I sometimes lose track because I forget to make note of actually what shoe I'm running in. So I have a difficult time with this, although I'm pretty good about it. But basically you attach this device and I'm assuming it works kind of like a Nike Plus, the old foot pods that they had. It's probably similar to a pedometer.
Mm-hmm.
And it uses that to track the mileage that you run, and it has a little digital display. This thing's about the size of, it's kind of like a USB thumb drive, which it actually literally is a USB mm-hmm. thumb drive, but it mm-hmm. looks like a little pod. You attach it to your shoe, has a little digital readout that tells you how many miles you have on your shoe. So, you know, when you see it gets to 500 or 600, whatever you determine the mileage of your shoe is, you know that you can take it off and you get rid of those shoes and you get another pair of shoes and you clip it right back on.
And it looks like they show it clipped on the laces.
Yeah. So it kind of attaches like you would a timing chip.
Yeah.
If you had one of, you
kind of, D-tags.
Yeah, kind of like a D-tag, you would put it on. It looks a little bit big on your foot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you kind of have to be okay with kind of a large thing going on there. I think they have several different colors. You can also, you take the pod, you open it up, and it is a USB thumb drive, so you can plug it in your computer. So when you do get to end of life for one of your shoes, you can plug it in your computer, you reset it, and it zeroes it out, and then you're ready to put it on a new pair of shoes. And it also allows you to put your medical information on there, so kind of an emergency thing where you can put your name and allergies, blood type, and all that stuff.
You put a phone number, a contact name.
So if you were to get into an accident, you know, the EMTs or the hospital could get this little foot pod, open it, and plug it into a computer.
Right.
Now, you always have the problem that the hospital or EMTs have to know how to do that,
right,
or know to do that,
right,
when they see this little thing. I don't know if they'll know that. I don't know if it actually has labeling on it specifically that says, you know, case of...
Personal information or medical information or something.
So the current cost, I think, on the Indiegogo project is $30. We'll get you two of them, or $15 for one.
Yeah.
So I know if I was getting them, I would have to probably buy two because I rotate two pairs of shoes. You rotate how many pairs of shoes right now?
Right now I have like three or four, I think.
So it would be a little bit more expensive for you if you wanted to put one on every
on
single
each
shoe.
One.
Yeah. So I don't know how accurate it's going to be for the mileage, but I think it's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah.
And it's fairly inexpensive.
I like the fact that it has that secondary use
for the emergency information.
Right.
Yeah. So kind of a safety thing. So mm-hmm. a little bit better than the, I don't know if it's better than the Road ID thing, actually.
Well, the Road ID, the information is right there in your face. So you just have to look at it.
Although with this one, you can be a little more detailed with actual medical
information. Yeah, you can't put all of that in the Road ID.
So kind of a cool little project. We'll see, you know, I don't know exactly how well they actually track the mileage.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be actually be interesting to see. But, you know, $15 or $30, it's kind of a pretty cheap price to give it a try if that's something you're interested in. But I think you'd have to look at the pictures to make sure that you're cool with having that on your shoe
all the time. The interesting thing to me would be not necessarily the size, is like how heavy it is.
Ah, good point.
Or how heavy it's not. Mm-hmm. How light it is. Because if it's a D tag relatively is kind of big, but it doesn't weigh hardly anything.
Right.
Obviously, I think this is going to weigh more than a D tag, but, you know, size wise, if it's, I mean, I can see the picture that they have posted in relation to a shoe, but I wonder what it's going to feel like on your foot.
I think more importantly, not the weight. Is it going to fit secure? You know, how's the clip actually work?
That too.
Is it going to bounce around on your foot or not? Because if it's going to bounce, then it's going to annoy you.
Mm-hmm.
If it just stays snug, I don't think you would notice it at all.
Right.
I mean, I think the good thing about it is it's, you just put it on there and then you just leave it on there forever until you're done with that shoe. So it's, you know, it's only going to work with one pair of shoes, but it's kind of nice because you'll always have that number of how many miles you have on your shoe.
Maybe the next generation will be that you can use it for multiple shoes. Like just push a button and use it for a different shoe.
Yeah, but then you have the issue of, then it becomes a human error thing because are you going to forget to take it from one shoe to the other? So,
and then you're going to forget to push whatever button to switch from one shoe to the other.
So I think their idea is to make it so cheap that you can have two of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think they're accounting for people that maybe rotate three or four shoes.
Okay.
Like you.
All right. I don't always rotate three or four shoes.
Yeah. Well, I do two and I've done
actually, I almost always rotate three now that I think about it. Okay.
So, but kind of an interesting, you know, product if you want to take a look, if you're kind of into that kind of stuff. And I'll put a link in the show notes over at embracerunning.com in case you're curious and want to take a look. What else do we got? I was going to mention real quickly an article that I actually just read right before we started recording, which was from Forbes, which is interesting because it's not a running publication or anything.
Yeah.
But they did have an article that said five marathons to hit in 2013, which it gives you five cool marathons that you might want to do in 2013. It does start with the caveat that London, LA, and Berlin are all sold out for the year.
Oh, okay.
And then Boston, you would already have to be into it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of...
So those are already off of the
so
table?
So those are already off the list. So after those four, what would be five good marathons to do? Which, I got to say, four of these are kind of on my to-do list, maybe. I guess you could say. The first one, which I didn't really think about doing, is Country Music Marathon in Nashville, which is in April. Kind of a cool... That's an R&R event, I believe, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So that seems like... pretty cool event maybe to do.
Mm-hmm.
Something to think about. Nice to get rock and roll into the country music side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And not just the typical rock that they do.
A reason for us to travel to Nashville.
Yeah. I don't think we probably would otherwise, I guess.
Yeah.
The second one they mentioned is Blackmore's Sydney Marathon. So Sydney, Australia, if you want to go international.
Yeah, let's go.
So kind of funny because we were actually talking about this race yesterday.
I know, that's
just
so bizarre.
We were having a conversation about just marathons that we want to do someday.
Like in life.
Yeah. And we actually
in our lifetime.
Yeah, and we were actually looking at 1 month of the year Sydney Marathon was just out of curiosity. So it's kind of hilarious to me that this actually came up on the list.
I think it's a sign.
I think so. The third one they mentioned was Bank of America Chicago Marathon, which I think we've said that we're planning on doing probably this year.
I think it's a sign.
I always say planning because we haven't actually registered for it. Fourth one on the list, Marine Corps Marathon, which is a favorite of tons and tons of people out in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one that we want to do someday.
Yeah.
We were just in Washington, D.C.
last
year.
I'd like to do it eventually.
Yeah, I don't think we'll rush back to D.C. just because we were there. So maybe get away for a couple of years and then maybe that's something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth one on the list, no surprise, ING New York City Marathon. Which I won't touch this year at all for reasons that we've talked about in the past.
But someday.
But definitely I think that's a race to do someday in the future, depending on how much that race would cost in the future. Because that's one of the most expensive races in
the
country.
That is true. I forget about that.
Yeah. And that's probably just going to go up. I don't see that changing at all. So I just wanted to mention that because I was literally reading that right before we started recording.
So I'll do New York when I hit the lottery.
Awesome. The lottery to get into it?
No. That's funny.
Oh, the actual lottery.
I meant the actual lottery.
Okay. What else we got? You actually read an article kind of just today, too, about stress and running.
Yeah.
Which I did not read, but you're going to fill me in, right?
Right.
Okay.
I'm going to attempt to fill you in and kind of see what you think. So this actually, I read it online, but it was in January, this month's issue, January's issue of Runner's World magazine. So the title of the article is How Stress Can Help and Hurt Running. So it kind of talks a little bit about how stress can be helpful to your running or how it could hurt your running and what you can do to kind of have stress help you more than hurt you with your running. So it talks, a little bit about the science as far as how stress affects your brain. So, you know, the part of your brain that I guess controls your response to anxiety is the amygdala, which is also called the fear center. And it's what reacts quickly to threats. So if you like are out running and see, you know, an unleashed dog, or you're out on a trail. Okay. So I guess my amygdala was what was kicking in right then. Perfect segue. You know, it tells your adrenal glands, which are right above your kidneys or right on your kidneys, to release adrenaline and cortisol, which then pump extra blood and sugar to your muscles. So it also shuts down your immune and digestive systems so you can focus on flight. So essentially when you're kind of in that mode, you need something to happen quickly, you know, like you're in fear mode, you know, flight or fight. And so something needs to kick in quickly. And so this is what drives that to, you know, have me avoid the dog and not like, you know, step on it and fall and have both of us injured or something like that. But so like on race day it can be helpful, you know, if it's kind of hitting that at the right time, you know, like if, you know, your last kick into the finish line, you know, it helps in that sense. But the way it could kind of hurt is that it could also, what they say, actually hijack another part of your brain, which is the prefrontal cortex, which is in charge of decision making and reins in impulses and emotions. So by hijacking it, it could start the fear process early. So instead of on my trail run when I come across a dog, or, you know, at the last point one of your half marathon or whatever it may be, it could actually start all this maybe a couple of days before your race. So you start having some anxiety or stress before the race. And if that happens, it could interfere with your digestion. So you have less energy in the days leading up to it. Your immunity isn't as good, so you can get sick more easily. It could affect your sleep, so your muscles don't recover as well. So this is kind of the way it can, you know, kind of make you more prone to burnout, illness, and injury. So this is that's the part of the article that talks about how initially the amygdala can kind of help with, you know, running, but it could also kind of hurt your running. So you have any thoughts so far?
I mean, I can totally see how stress would, you know, if you're stressing over an upcoming race.
Yeah.
I can see that totally screwing you up like the couple of days leading up to it.
Right.
If you're losing sleep. I can totally understand that. It's funny because I actually don't stress over races anymore. At all.
Yeah.
So I kind of have a hard time relating with that anymore. I think a long time ago I would probably stress out a little bit before races, but I don't have that issue at all, so I can't really say anymore. I think you do. You tend to stress a little bit more over races.
I do.
Yeah.
And I would say I stress less than I used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's more like race day for a lot of them, whereas maybe before it was a couple of days before that I would start stressing out, but I think I still have some level of stress. Although maybe now I've been able to kind of harness it so that it's not affecting me like the week before, you know, leading up to the race. Maybe it's just like the couple of hours before, which I guess ideally would be less harmful if I'm just feeling stressed a couple of hours before the race versus 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days before the race.
And I think stressing before a race is totally normal. I think a lot of people stress out the couple of days leading up to big races, if it's a big race for them or even right beforehand.
Yeah.
So I do think it's normal.
Right. So are you saying you're abnormal?
In
that sense?
I think,
or just not the,
more,
not the norm.
No, I just think the more races you do, you know, I think it's just, to me, a lot of times it's just another race. You know, it's nothing.
Yeah.
I do races because they're fun and I love to do it. So I don't have a reason to stress over it. If I, you know, what am I going to stress over, a PR or something? I'm not, you know, if I miss a PR that I'm shooting for, I miss it. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
I'm going to be doing another race probably in a month anyway. So.
or you know, sooner than that, who knows?
Yeah, or sooner. So I have plenty of chances of it. But I think, you know, if you're new to racing, I think it's totally normal to get kind of stressed out beforehand if you've only done a couple, or, you know, this is your first race. I would totally understand. And it's funny. I think back to my very first 5K. I don't think I stressed out about it at all. I just had no clue what was going on because, I had no idea what 5Ks were about or how anything worked at a race at all. So
you didn't know what you didn't know.
Right. I didn't know I was supposed to stress out before a race. So I was like, totally nothing. But like I said, after doing lots and lots of races, for me personally, I don't think there's anything to stress over about because I'm just there to have fun. And, you know, even when I'm shooting for PRs, you make it or you don't, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay. That's good input. And I think it's good input from a different perspective too, from somebody who doesn't really tend to stress out on most races.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure you had a small amount of stress with CIM, I would think, just because it was a big race, but.
Yeah, CIM was a little bit. I think CIM was a little bit weird because we kind of had so many questions about the weather and the rain.
Right, and the majority of stress was over that.
Yeah, it wasn't so much of running, although it was kind of hard to imagine, like, oh, 26, it's going to be a long day, but like, how cold is it going to be? How windy is it going to be? You know, that type of thing was kind of, I guess, stressful.
Right.
But
how many hours is it going to rain on me?
But even then, I kind of said, well, I'm going to be wet for 4 or 5 hours, and that's just what it's going to be. There's nothing I can do about
it. Just go with it.
But that definitely did. Was a lot of thinking. Because I think we even said, like, on that podcast leading up to it, you know, we spent a lot of time thinking about the weather and not so much the race. So didn't we even say
which
it kind of helped?
Kind of good.
Yeah, because it kind of took out.
Because in the 26.2 didn't seem so daunting.
Right.
Or me trying to go or going for a BQ, which I missed, didn't seem so daunting ahead of time because it was more like, okay, what's the weather going to be like? Okay, so what do I need to wear for that? And yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And use a lot of Body Glide on my feet, et cetera. Like, yeah. I'm more concerned about that. So the second part of the article talks about how you can try to control or prevent stress from kind of having a negative impact on your running. So it talks about kind of putting a positive, you know, context on the stress. So when you feel, you know, like if you start feeling kind of nervous, you know, or stressed out, faster pulse, nervous stomach, general restlessness, you can kind of try not to panic and just tell yourself that these are normal feelings that are indicating that you're excited, you're engaged, and you care about your running, which are all good things. Mm-hmm. Instead of starting to stress over the fact that, you know, you got butterflies in your stomach or, you know, whatever other physical symptoms you're having, kind of try to put a positive spin, like, okay, it's just because I'm excited about the race, not because I'm so stressed out and nervous about the race. So, and it's really just kind of putting a positive spin on it, kind of some, I guess, positive self-talk, really. And then just kind of reminding yourself that, you know, if you have elevated stress hormones, it can actually improve your performance in short term. So if you're, you know, kind of have some elevated stress hormones for a race, it could actually improve your performance for the race. But on the flip side, it could actually diminish your performance in the long term. So it also talks about doing things to kind of change up your training, you know, to kind of have new things, whether it's being part of a new running group, having a new running buddy, going on a different running route, kind of changing things up. Because by kind of changing up your normal environment, specifically with running, you actually encourage your body to produce dopamine, which is a feel-good neurotransmitter that's released when you try something new and a little risky. So instead of having, you know, the same exact route that you do every single time, you're more likely to kind of get just bored with it and burned out. And you've actually talked about that before.
Yeah, but you would think it's less stressful to do the same old thing all the time than to try.
Well, I guess there's things. A balance then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I mean, it's kind of finding the balance where, I mean, I guess, and maybe it's person specific too, because maybe somebody who really enjoys that one route is going to be more stressed out by trying something new.
Right.
Whereas somebody who's like, okay, I've done this route forever and I'm kind of, now I don't even look forward to my runs because I'm going to do that same route. Okay. You probably need to change something up. Maybe you do the same route, but maybe you take somebody with you,
right,
or you take your dog with you, or you know, whatever it may be, you do it a different time of the day. I don't know.
I think that's what something I need like to do, because I definitely get tired of my same old stuff.
What, different route or different time of the day? Or
Probably everything.
Everything. So yeah, I think that was pretty much the whole article.
Yeah,
so.
It's funny. When I think of stress, you know, and running, actually, I view it as, you know, I understand the stress for races and that kind of thing. And maybe you stress over your training. You know, maybe as you get to that point, like,
right,
hey, oh, it's 6 weeks until this marathon. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, you start to worry like, oh, did I put the training in? I could see that. But for the most part, running for me is my way to de-stress.
Right.
It's my way to either get away from life, or it's a chance to kind of think about things in your head while you're out for the run. So running is my de-stressor.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so for running for me is definitely clears more stress than it creates.
And I think for the majority of people that run, that's what it does.
Yeah. But you know, now that I'm saying it, I could actually really see people like worrying about like the training.
Right.
Like, oh, 4 weeks. Did I put the training in? Am I mm-hmm. ready for this full marathon? I could see really people stressing over that. But like I said, it's just a race. There'll be hopefully more races. Don't get too sucked up into the stress of that one race. But I mean, it's kind of hard to just for me to tell you that and you to do it. So.
Exactly. Or, I mean, and I could see people getting stressed over maybe missing some runs that they had planned to do.
Right.
You know, kind of stressing over that fact. Like, oh man, I was going to do that and I just didn't do it. And, you know, and kind of just keep thinking about that.
Getting in that routine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, interesting about stress. Don't stress out over the race. I'm telling you. Don't do it. Just relax. Go for a nice 5 mile run. Maybe
before
2 miles.
Race.
Yeah. And just kind of let it out. Take deep breaths. So yeah, that's going to kind of wrap it up, I guess. Wanted to get to some feedback. Todd actually asked me a question about my IT band. So I know I haven't talked about my IT band in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
So he was kind of asking me, I guess he had some IT issues kind of maybe after overtraining and running in the snow and ice, and was kind of asking me what I did to kind of cure the problem and how long did it take. And I actually don't really have any answer for you
mm-hmm.
because I don't think I've gotten rid of my IT band issues at all. They're kind of still there. They just kind of sometimes are a little worse. Sometimes it's a little bit better. I think it's been a little bit better the last 2 months. I can't give you a reason Why?
You didn't do anything specifically
I didn't do anything specifically to fix it. I've tried kind of different stretches. I've tried the foam roller, but nothing with any consistency to the point where I can say this worked or didn't work for me.
Yeah.
So I've just, probably not good advice, but I just kind of ignored it, and it hasn't been bad enough for me to stop.
It didn't get worse.
It didn't get worse. So continued running for me didn't make things worse at all. So that's, as long as that was the case, I just kind of decided to keep running. Now, I don't think that's necessarily the smart thing to do and not necessarily a solution, but I don't have any better solutions. I mean, IT band's kind of one of those things that everybody has a different way that they either fix the problem or different things that they've tried and haven't worked. Everybody kind of comes at it from a different angle. And
some people just find a way to just manage the problem, like, right. they never really get rid of it, but
so I mean, I really wish I could tell people, you know, this is what I did. So I think if I've talked about it less lately, it's just because it hasn't bothered me much. So but nothing specifically that I've done besides, for me personally, just consistently training, although this has been kind of an off,
with the exception of this,
because I was gonna say, I didn't really, between CIM and Disney, I didn't really get in the training at all that I'd planned on getting in. So
do you think maybe that had an effect?
The rest could have helped a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think, when we ran the Goofy Challenge, my knees were pretty shot towards the end of the marathon, both knees, although my IT band's always been in my right leg. But I can't really say that it was what would hurt more, like my knee or my IT band. My IT band wasn't that bad. It's just my knees were just kind of done in general. So maybe the pain in my knees just kind of masked my IT band problems during the Disney marathon.
How did it compare to the pain that you had with your IT band, like for CIM? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Okay.
So I think one thing, you know, I keep running logs. The one thing I think I need to do a better job is making notes on how, you know, injury issues feel.
Because
I think that gives you the opportunity to kind of go back and realize, like,
see a pattern or something.
Yeah, like, oh, it was worse for this race. What did I do? Oh, I trained super hard for it, and maybe that kind of led it to be worse. Or, like, you know, I rested more for this race. So I think I need to do a better job of kind of keeping notes. But
I ran a different type of surface or something, if for somebody who kind of does that.
Yeah. I mean, I think back to Rock and Roll San Jose, which was in October. And I remember my IT band was killing me leading up to the race. Like, literally the day walking around at the expo hurt more than...
the day before.
Yeah, hurt more than actually running the half marathon.
Right, and actually PR'd.
Yeah. So, like I said, my IT band has no rhyme or reason half the time. So, I wish I could offer people advice on that. So,
well, you did offer some advice as far as what you've tried.
Right.
I mean, just being honest that you haven't been real consistent with the different approaches, but what some of the approaches are to kind of help with IT band pain.
Yeah. I'd kind of like to get to the foam roller and kind of stick with it for consistently for an extended, but like, I'd love to be able to consistently use it for a month and see how I feel after that.
Yeah.
But honestly, I just haven't had the dedication to kind of maintain that. So even with stretching and stuff, I really haven't given it a fair shake to see if that could solve the problem. So that's something, like I said, I'm going to have to work on personally. So bummer to hear about your IT band problems. I definitely feel for you because I've been there. But I have no advice to give you. I'm just terrible, huh?
No, that's not terrible. It's just honest answer.
Yeah, that's my issue, I guess. So, all right, you have anything else for today?
I don't.
All right, are we going to get out of here?
Yes.
We will. So, have a good week. You give them the info.
All right, so the website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. The Facebook page is facebook.com/embracerunning. You could send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. That's going to do it for this week. So, until next time, keep running.